transfiguration of our Lord is written in Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with them in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a light, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and have no fear." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the Transfiguration of our Lord is based on the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking, and behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Thus far the text. How appropriate for the Epiphany season to conclude, as God gives to you the Epiphany of Jesus heavenly glory. The man, Jesus, being revealed as the Son of God, in him, having his divinity visibly radiate. His glory, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. This wasn't a reflected light that was bouncing off of Jesus like the sun hitting the moon. Jesus was the light. Jesus was giving Peter, James, and John an exclusive glimpse of his unveiled glory, a glimpse of heaven. This is how they were going to shine in glory someday. And this is how you are going to shine in glory as well. Eventually being transfigured yourselves, being completely spotless, with no blemish, dazzlingly white. This is what you prayed for in the collect of the day, that your Lord would continue his mercy to make you co-heirs with your King in his glory and bring you to the fullness of your inheritance in heaven. Things only get better for the three disciples as alongside Jesus, Moses, and Elijah appear and begin talking with him. Peter then replies to the Lord, "Lord, it is good that we are here." And Peter is exactly right up to that point. It is good for them to be there and witness the glimpse of heavenly glory and heavenly conversation. It's good for anyone to have that kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. The problem is, if you're not paying attention, that you can easily get caught up in the glory and then become focused on the wrong thing. Who, like Peter, doesn't want to stay in the mountaintop while it's in the valley where life really takes place? Peter reveals in his witness to hanging on to the glory, he reveals the misunderstanding of man desiring to stay on the mountaintop. And he continues to reply to the Lord by stating, "If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," as if they're going to stay a while. Peter either couldn't hear, was not paying attention, or simply rejected the heavenly conversation that had taken place between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The accounts of this event proclaimed through St. Paul, or through St. Luke's Gospel, reveal that Moses and Elijah were discussing the exodus of the Messiah, his departure from this world, his glorious crucifixion. This is also called Christ's Passion. This is what they were discussing. This is what heaven is interested in. This is what the angels sing about. This is what the saints revel in. The death of Jesus is their glory. The death of Jesus is your glory. Christ's passion is the fulfillment of all that Moses and Elijah prophesied. Peter, though, missed the point. He thought he was honoring Jesus by putting him at the same level as the great prophets of old. Peter still had a lot to learn. It's always a matter of catechesis. God gave his word through Moses, but Jesus is himself the very word of God made flesh. Moses freed Israel from Pharaoh's cruel bondage of slavery in Egypt. But Jesus leads his people in an exodus out of the slavery to sin and Satan's tyranny. How see the hidden things of God in the lowly and despised things of the world. He does not yet embrace the suffering of Jesus as God's perfect mercy and true glory. The blindness of Peter is no stranger to you. It is a stubbornness born of pride that wants its own way, a pride that refuses to sacrifice the way that it is supposed to sacrifice. Pride is the demise of marriages. Pride is the dissolving of friendships. Pride goeth before the fall. Pride refuses to believe that parents are to be honored, that spouses are to be loved, or that neighbors should be looked after and protected above oneself. It is this pride that wants lofty, soaring, emotional highs, easy answers, fancy music and ceremonies of the self. Pride desires rules to live by, because pride-filled flesh presumes itself righteous enough that it believes that it can improve. All of this is the way of glory, thought of as much easier than that way of the cross, anything but suffering and death. But the reality of your thoughts, words, and deeds give you away. By what you have done and by what you have left undone, according to your flesh, you have not loved God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you have not loved your neighbors as yourselves. Pride-filled flesh is weak, including the sinful flesh of the pastor through whom God speaks to you now. He preaches to himself when he says, "You have all succumbed to the vanity of your hearts, wanting your own fame, honor, and glory. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing." Here on the mountaintop, through Moses and Elijah, there is a lesson for Peter and for you. Glory. Glory can only come by way of a cross. This walk through the valley of the shadow of death is life filled with tiny to tumultuous frustrations of suffering must take place. If you think I sound bad, you should hear Samuel. There's no respecter of persons. Suffering happens from the smallest of sizes to the biggest. The glory is in the suffering, though. A statement like that perplexes many. But worldly eyes will never see, and worldly reason will never understand. It is grace alone, through Christ Jesus alone, by faith alone. The Father's voice proclaims this as it resounds. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Father makes it glaringly clear who the focus is always to be upon. Not glory. But when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. This is exactly why Jesus directs the three disciples to not say a word about the transfiguration until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. He even says this, quote, "as they were coming down the mountain into the valley," because he wanted them to remain focused on what he was going theology of glory, his desire to camp out and stay on the mountaintop, his avoidance of the trials of life. But Jesus wanted it known that it is only through suffering that the glory can be attained. It is only through the theology of the cross that one gains a correct understanding of what life is truly full of. As you stare at this icon, it should do nothing but remind us of what the Christian life is. Trials, temptations, illnesses, the perils of death, both the ups and the downs. Jesus certainly had his epiphany moments, but ultimately he suffered and died in your place on the cross. The curse of sin would pierce him instead of you. And because of his finished actions, by faith alone, you are declared righteous, justified, and innocent in God's sight. By faith alone, because of him, you can enter the promised land of heaven. And so today, in the culmination of the Epiphany season, you appropriately come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. You prepare to enter the valley of real life. You embark on seeing the same scene that Jesus wanted Peter and the rest of the disciples to pay attention to. You are prepared for the next 3 weeks in what the historic lectionary calls pre-Lent, a preparation to enter a repentant time of the church year. Preparation. Why? Because by your sinful nature, you really don't want anything to do with it. You want to stay on the mountaintop. You don't want to reflect on what you think is negative. For the grace of God, in repenting and believing, your life is in Christ Jesus, in which you truly live throughout the year. As you go on living in this veil of sorrows, you are led by faith, being called, gathered, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit in the one true faith, suffering in that faith, because the flesh is always at war with the Spirit. Your friends, in Christ Jesus, sin is what you struggle with. Sin is what brings you your sorrows and trials. Sin is what is down in the valley. It is always in Moses, Elijah, and Peter. And it's in you as well. And combined with the wretched world and the devil, it spells trials, tribulations, and suffering. You share in the sorrows of Moses, Elijah, and Peter, and yet you also shall share in the glory that they are completely in right now. The glory of your Lord. For he came down from heaven into the valley of this wretched world and died the death which you deserve. He took upon himself all of your sin. He conquered the world, your flesh, death, and the devil, and he did it by way of the cross. Your trials and suffering bring you to lean more heavily upon the Lord, bringing you to live by way of the cross as well, not in your own understanding. You are led by faith to daily remember your holy baptism, dying to yourself to live in Christ. You are led to God's divine service of you each and every week, graciously receiving the forgiveness of sins through word and the sacrament, because why? You daily sin much. You cannot help it. But another has. Jesus the Christ, the one who brings Jesus' crucifixion, through his dying, to his rising. As he said to them, so he says to you, rise and have no fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.